son down to earth to die for us. If he sent his son, his only begotten son, to die for us, and we should at least love and care for one another. Us loving one another doesn't mean we have to die for one another. Just help each other, visit them at home, or if they're in the hospital, we just need to be an encouragement to one another. If there's someone you know who's lost, then you bring them to church, they might get saved. And so we shouldn't go around all mad at each other. God doesn't want us to dislike one another. If you come in church and two people are mad at each other, that can just ruin the whole church service. And you should never say that, like, you hate somebody, because you shouldn't hate anybody. In Philippians 4:1-3, it talks about these two women named Eudes and Syntyche. They had to settle their differences to love and to love each other. They had to so there could be peace and unity in the church. And that's one of the first things you got to do. You got to set aside your differences. Whatever's wrong, you got to just put that aside. So these women probably started praying when they read Paul's letter, and they probably started praying together. And Paul even asked the church to help them to settle their problems. If you called somebody out and called two people out in church today and started telling the church about their problems, they probably just leave the church. And you can find something that you don't like in anyone, but you shouldn't be looking for what you don't like. Everyone's different, but you shouldn't find what makes them different from you. You should be trying to find how you're the same. And in Ephesians 4:30, and in Ephesians 4:32, In Ephesians 4:32 it says, "And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, and even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." So you gotta forgive them for whatever they did to you, or whatever the problem that you're having. It says to forgive one another, and we are also to forgive one another as Christ forgave us. When he was hanging on the cross, he forgave you for something that you hadn't even done yet. He knew you were going to do it. He knew what he was getting when he got you. So he forgave you when you hadn't even done, for something you didn't even do yet. When there's a problem, you should at least walk up to them and say, "I'm sorry." But true forgiveness doesn't mean you have to say you're sorry. It's just true forgiveness just means that you just go on and forget it and forgive them and go on. But sometimes it's hard to forgive people for what they did, but it's still the right thing to do. And the King gave me 5 minutes, and my 5 minutes is up. So.
You'll go far minding the pastor, son. Isn't that good? Yes, sir. Amen. 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 Thank God. Bobby, he's a real blessing. I appreciate this young man coming tonight. Son, I'd give you a little grace. I'm not that. We warned him about that all afternoon.
Preacher said 5 minutes. You better keep it 5 minutes. He's a nervous wreck. Brother Ken's going to whip me or not buy me ice cream or something if I can't find me. Isn't that a blessing? Well, I appreciate the privilege of being here. I sure appreciate the presence of the Holy Ghost. Man, I'm telling you, I was honored to get in here this morning and just get around where the water's getting stirred up today. And that was a blessing. I thank you. I thank you for your kindness and friendliness. You know, the sign said something about a friendly town when we drove in. Usually that's a lie, but this is y'all friendly. And I appreciate that. Let me say, I do appreciate coming to a church where folks will shake your hand, say they love you. You'd be amazed the churches we go in and out of, and it's hard to even get somebody to say hello, much less say I love you. But we're brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen. Ain't that right? And we ought to be able to worship. And we ought to be able to worship. And we ought to be able to fellowship together. And I appreciate the Lord letting us do that tonight. Would you stand again? Let's take our Bibles to the book of James, chapter number 1. I want to do my best to just be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And even sitting there tonight, I've wrestled as to what the Lord would have us to preach on this night. I felt confident that this was the direction to have us go this morning. But we want to just be sensitive to the direction that He's taken the service. And there's several things we could have preached, I guess, about tonight. But I want the Lord to help us. And if in the middle of this, I sense the Holy Spirit take us another direction, you'll be so kind to go with me, won't you? We want to follow the Holy Spirit of God. But let's read James chapter 1, beginning at verse number 1. Spent some time eating lunch there with Sister Renee. I thought a whole lot about preaching on tailor-made pantsuits tonight, but we decided maybe might have been several things said about that this morning, so we decided to go a different direction. James chapter 1, verse 1, James, a servant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. You've got to appreciate that humility. Yes, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Father, we thank you tonight for letting us be in the house of the Lord. I sure do thank you for the Spirit of the Lord that has manifested himself in our presence this morning and tonight. And thank you for the good kindness of your children. Thank you, Lord, for the good sweet ministering to our hearts through the songs today and tonight. I thank you, Lord, for what our hearts have felt already in this place. Thank you for our friends. Lord, we thank you for the Word of God. I pray your blessings on this place, this pastor, the surrounding churches that may have a heart for the Lord. I pray, make them strong in the Lord, the power of your might. Help them, Lord, to have a hunger for the Word of God and the things of the Lord. But in this place, as we've gathered tonight, oh God, I pray, minister to us and do the finished work that you'd have willed for this service. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You can be seated. Thank you for staying and reverencing the reading of the Word of God. I do want to note that James is writing a letter not to people to whom all is well. Everything's not going just right in these lives of the 12 tribes. The Bible said they've been scattered abroad. And so that indicates that things are not just perfect. It indicates to me that there are problems, there are difficulties in their life, but yet there is a greeting from the Lord that has been sent their way. And James is writing and he says to them, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. I do want us to note some things here before we get started tonight. First of all, let's note the word temptations. And you understand that this is not a tempting to commit a sin. This is dealing with trials and dealing with struggles and problems. As a matter of fact, it is from this word, the same word from which we get the word temptations here. We also get the English word pirate. That's going to be important that you note that in just a few minutes. I do also want to note the word fall here in verse number 2. There's only one other place in the New Testament that this particular word is used in this particular meaning. You'll find it over in the book of Luke chapter number 10. If you're much of a Bible student, you know what's going on in chapter 10 of the book of Luke. You'll know that in Luke chapter number 10 that there is a certain man in verse number 30 that went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and the Bible said that he fell among thieves. Now the same word there, fell, in chapter 10 of the book of Luke verse 30 is the same word that is listed as fall here in James chapter 1 verse 2. This certain man that fell among these thieves in Luke chapter number 10 was taken by surprise. On the way down from Jerusalem to Jericho, he was not planning on encountering thieves. He was not planning that he would be stripped of his raiment, wounded, and left for dead on the side of the road. That was not what he had planned. These things came to him by surprise, and caught him off guard, and wounded him, and wreaked havoc in his life. What James is trying to warn us is that he did not say, "My brethren, count it all joy if you fall in the diverse temptations." You and I know that in this life we're guaranteed there are going to be temptations. There are going to be trials. There are going to be days when pirates of this life are allowed to board our ships of life and steal from us and rob us and strip us of our raiment and leave us what they would believe is for dead. Now you and I understand there's the word diverse here in chapter 1 verse 2. And we understand that there are many avenues for these pirates of life to come. Many avenues for these thieves to attack us. Many avenues for us to be overtaken. Many avenues for a fall. Many avenues for these trials. I think about 2 Corinthians chapter number 11. The great apostle Paul, he even listed a diverse, many diverse ways that he himself had come under the pirates of life. He said in verse 23, "Are they ministers of Christ?" But he said, "I speak as a fool. I am more in labors more abundant." Now this is what he said. He said, "In stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths often." He said, "Of the Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes save one. Thrice I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I've been in the deep. In journeys often. In perils of waters. In perils of robbers. In perils by my own countrymen. In perils by the heathen. In perils in the city. In perils in the wilderness. In perils in the sea. In perils among false brethren. In weariness and painfulness. In watchings often. In hunger and thirst. In fastings often. In cold and nakedness. Beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily with care of all the churches." He's listed here a diversity of ways that even himself has fallen under the pirates of life. He's listed a diversity of temptation, a diversity of trials that he has faced. Yet like what he said when he gets down in verse number 30, he said, "If I must needs glory," he said, "I'll glory of the things which concern my infirmities." Now it's real important that you and I understand that in infirmities, talking about, he said, "If I glory, I'm going to glory in my infirmities. It's important that you and I understand that we face difficulties from day to day. But oftentimes our difficulties are noted when maybe the lady's blow dryer goes on the brink and quits working. Or a belt breaks on the washing machine. Or the battery in the car's dead. Or a flat tire. Or some of these little nuisances of life. And I say that's natural. Those things are going to happen. They're going to be nuisances. But those aren't the trials. They're not the pirates of life. And they're certainly not infirmities. When Paul talks about his infirmities, and when Paul said, if I glory, I'll glory in my infirmities. These infirmities are more than just nuisances. There are things that occur in a man's life that hurt him deeper than words can express. They cut you to the bone. They wound you so deep. You might be able to describe what has happened, but you cannot by words of man describe the pain that you're feeling, the distress taking place down inside your gut. You might not be able to describe in words how it's torn your world apart and how it got so dark and so bleak. Now, friend, that's an infirmity. And may I say, in this life, though we are saved by the good grace of God, and though the Holy Ghost of God resides within us, and though we are kept by the power of God, and though we know we're never alone, and though we know Jesus said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee, there are going to be days in our life when infirmities do come, and we do hurt so deep that we cannot describe it, and we don't know what we're going to do. And may I say, God help us to be able to deal with the infirmities of the pirates of life boarding our ship and wreaking havoc in our heart. Amen. Now I want to tell you, I wish all I had to worry about was a bad battery in my car. I wish the worst thing in my life that I had to face was a microwave that didn't work. I wish the hardest day in my life was just merely a common cold. But God help us, that's not the way it is. And oftentimes you may have asked the question, why in the world does these things have to happen? I mean, God has saved me. And God has written my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Now I'm going to go to heaven and I die. Now no God rest in me through and by the Holy Ghost of God. But why does He allow these things to happen? Why? I know God is able to stop these things from happening. I know God could have prevented that. And you may have even asked the question in a time of despair, God, why did you let this happen? Why did you not stop this? Why don't you do something about this? Why, Lord, why? I want to deal tonight with three reasons why that the Lord allows these pirates of life to board our ship. I want to deal with three reasons why I see in James chapter 1 that the Holy God of heaven would sit and allow the devil to wreak havoc. I want to deal with three reasons why God would allow these things to come in our life. First of all, may I say one of the reasons why God will allow the pirates of life to board our ship and why the Lord would allow us to face these diversity of trials and the diversity of temptations that brings such deep infirmity to our life. Why would God do that? I say, first of all, He does that because we have a life that needs to be transformed. And I'm telling you, friend, I'm glad. I said, I'm glad. Back in January 1993, on a Thursday night, in the month of January 1993, while I was attending school in Jefferson City, Tennessee, in a home where I was living, down on an old hardwood floor back in my bedroom, I bowed my face to God. I cried out to a Savior that reached way down before I knew what He was doing and dealt with my heart about being lost. I'm telling you, I as a lost church member, as a member of our church, as a religious man, as very active in religious work. I had altars bid out in the woods where I went and said my prayers. I read my Bible through when I was a little boy. I wouldn't go to bed at night unless I prayed. But I was going to the same hells, the drunkard and the dope addict. I tell you, thank God for the glorious night the Holy Ghost of God paid this red-headed man a visit and brought me under Holy Ghost conviction. And may I say that's the greatest grief I've ever been under in my life, is when God brought me under Holy Ghost conviction and made me aware of my lost condition and brought me to a holy God, repenting of my sin, crying out to Jesus. And may I say, thank God He saved me. Oh yeah. But I'm glad and I'm thank God for the difference when I got up on Friday morning. And may I say, I was different when I went to bed that Thursday night than what I was when I went to bed Wednesday night. And when I got up Friday morning, I had never got up like that. I'm telling you, I never got out of bed like I got out of bed on Friday morning. Amen. And thank God for the difference in my life on Friday than what I was on Thursday. But may I say, I'm glad I'm not tonight what I was on that Friday. Amen. I'm glad the Lord lets us grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, I love the little kid's songs. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. I'm telling you, there is a construction going on in our lives. And thank God for the transformation that took place when we got saved. But I'm telling you, if you ever got saved, you've still been transforming down through the years. You've been changing. You might have got saved, but there's some things you swore you'd never do. But I'm telling you, tonight, you're doing them, amen. There's things some of you are doing tonight you didn't think you'd ever do. There's some things some of you have given up that you didn't think you'd ever give up. And the reason being because God has had the Holy Ghost and the Holy Word, and He's been working on your life. He's been transforming you and changing you ever since you got saved. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? But every now and then God has to bring infirmities and pirates, troubles and trials into your life to shake your world upside down and change your priorities. Look right here at me. Sometimes you get to holding on to things a little too tight. You get to putting too much emphasis on certain things. You get to putting God in a back burner. Your priorities get all out of line. You get all messed up in your mind. And sometimes God's got to get a hold of you and shake your world and change your priorities and change your emphasis and change your mind and change your direction and get you to wake up. Amen. Every now and then we need a wake-up call. Sometimes we need to figure out we're playing when we think we're working. And sometimes we need to find out that we're not as really serious as we like everybody to think we are. And every now and then we need to realize that we're wasting our life. Amen. Now, brother, I almost preached out of the book of Jonah. When you study the book of Jonah, has the wicked city of Nineveh, and God has tapped a preacher boy by the name of Jonah to go preach to that wicked crowd, because God said their wickedness has come up before me. But He doesn't mention to Jonah what the wickedness is. Not right away. Jonah does not like the people of Nineveh, and Jonah has no plans on going to Nineveh. And Jonah runs from God. We know the story of how God got Jonah's attention and got his priorities on obeying the Lord. Somebody say amen. When you get to the last chapter and the last book of the last chapter and the last verse of the book of Jonah, God reveals to us what their wickedness is. And the Bible said that God told Jonah there's 120,000 people in Nineveh
that could not discern between their left hand and their right hand. And the reason there, with the reason God recognized they were so wicked, and the reason God wanted Jonah to go and preach to them is because they had no discernment. No discernment between right and wrong. No discernment between that which is right in the eyes of God and that which is evil in the eyes of God. And they're losing their children because their children have never been exposed to any reality of right priority, and the children have never been able to learn how to discern anything of God. And God sent Jonah to preach for 40 days that they might repent and get right. And Jonah didn't even like preaching to them, and he got mad when they repented and he got mad when they got right. And God sent Jonah. Oh, God, help us not to get so out of shape over personality. Personality is going to kill our churches. I'm telling Jonah had a real bad attitude. You wouldn't want to hear him preach. I wouldn't want to hear him preach. But he sure did preach. And God honored what he preached. And 120,000 got right with God. Ain't that right? But God sent Jonah to preach to Nineveh, to turn a new generation to God. Amen right there. And I'm telling you, friends, sometimes God will shake up daddies and He'll shake up mamas. He'll send infirmities into our life to change our priorities lest we lose our own children. I'm telling you, God, help us as mothers and daddies raising these boys and girls to set our affections on things above and get our priorities right and look to God and lead them like all in. Sometimes God has to transform our lives. And so to do so, He'll allow these pirates to board our ships. And He'll allow those pirates to hurt us deeper than we even want to talk about. And we'll grieve so deep in our spirit. And we'll think, dear God, my life's going to end. It'll never be right again. Oh God, my world's turned so upside down. I've blown it. I don't know what I'm going to do. Oh God, oh God, oh God. All God's trying to get you to do is wake up and allow Him to transform your life. Why does God send these infirmities in our life? Why would God allow such a pirate to board my ship and turn my world upside down and hurt me as deep as He has? Why does God allow these things to happen? First of all, because you've got a life that needs to be transformed. Second of all, because we've got a Lord that needs to be touched. Amen. Now the Bible says we have not a high priest that cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. And I'm so glad that in the midst of our hurtings, when our infirmities are in our life, these pirates have boarded our ship. We're hurting so deep I don't know what to do. We're hurting so deep I can't describe to you how bad I'm hurting. I'm glad I can touch the Lord. I'm glad I can run to this altar. I'm glad I can cry out to God. And I'm glad He knows what I'm feeling. And He can be touched. Amen. But God help us, why do we wait till we have infirmities before we touch Him? Our problem is if we'd been touching Him a little more often, the pirates might not have had to get on board a ship. See, it's kind of like this. I loved my daddy. My daddy was 50 something year old when I was born, friend. And I'm telling you, my daddy was a good daddy. He's a dear. He's like a grandpa to me. I'm telling you, I love my daddy. My daddy was a coal miner. He retired out of the mines when I was 10 years old. I loved it. Christmas break, there's daddy. Guess who picked me up when I got home? Daddy. He's there all summer. We went fishing every day. I love my daddy. As far as a lifetime friend, is the best friend I had. All of a sudden, I was about a sophomore in college, and I met a girl on summer break. Her name was Starla. And guess what? When I come home from school, I didn't hang out with Daddy. I went up, became a nuisance to Alvin and Laura May Gold. All summer long, they had supper guests. Yeah. If they went on vacation, they pulled in 10 minutes later. Look, guess who pulled in behind them? You know good and well, when you get home from vacation, the last thing you want to see is a future son-in-law. Somebody say amen. Somebody should have told me, stay home! On Fridays, I didn't get home till late. I was taking Starla out to eat. On Saturday, when he and I'd usually go fishing, I was somewhere else. How about that? I got married. I wasn't in touch with my daddy like I had been all them years. But guess what happened when the toilet stopped up? Or the faucet began to leak? Guess what happened when the car was acting weird? Guess what happened when I was having to dig a post hole and needed something? Hey, Dad, what are you doing? He should have said, why don't you and Miss Starla get out there and dig the hole? That's what he should have said. That's what he should have said. Nope, he got an old pickup. Here he come. To plunge our toilet, fix our faucet, nail something up on our porch, dig a post hole. I'm telling you, God help us, that we don't wait till something goes wrong before we get in touch with our Heavenly Father. And not only do we have a Father that can be touched in our infirmities, we've got a Father that can always be touched. Amen. Let's touch Him. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something, friend. During times of trial, during times of trouble, when your faith is being tried and the pirate's on your ship, I'm telling you, you might go to church and the devil won't care. You might read your Bible and it seems blank and empty. But I'm telling you, the only way you're going to get through the trials of your faith, and the only ways you're going to get balm put on the infirmities of your soul, and the only ways you're going to get the pirates off your ship is on your knees in prayer. Amen. Book of James chapter 5 said it's the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man that avails much. If we want to be able to avail over these trials of our faith, and we want to be able to avail over the pirates on our ship, no matter how painful the infirmity, it's going to take the fervent prayer of righteous men. That's the only thing that's going to avail. It's going to take spirited praying, heated praying, passionate praying. And I want to say something, Brother Ken. If people don't talk to God any more passionately than they talk about Him, I'm afraid they're never going to get some of the pirates off their ship. I'm telling you, friend, it'd be real good if we'd take a long look at how we talk about our Lord and how passionate are we about Him when we hold conversations about Him. And I'm telling you, for a good majority of us, if we're no more passionate to Him than we are about Him, we might be in trouble, amen. Some of us could get some pirates off our ship tonight if we'd get a little more fervent in our praying. And a little more righteous in our living. Amen. You with me tonight? God allows these pirates to board our ship. And He allows these infirmities to come. These trials to come. These diversity of trials to come. Because we have a life that needs to be transformed. Because we've got a Lord that needs to be touched. And because there is a Lordship that needs to be taken. See, the Bible says, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth, catch this, he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. The Bible said, let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Because the Bible said a double-minded man's unstable in all of his ways. Now you know what makes us so unstable and so double-minded is when we keep trying to sit on the throne of our life. When we keep trying to call the shots, we make the plans. Majority of our praying in these days, I'm afraid, is we go and we give God an update of what we want to happen and how we expect it all to turn out. And we spend most of our time trying to tell God and convince God to go along with us. When what the Bible talks about in the book of 1 Corinthians, I believe it is chapter 14, talks about communion of the Holy Ghost. Communion of the Holy Ghost is fellowship. And friend, if you're going to enter into communion with the Holy Ghost, you get on board with His plan. Not he get on board with yours. See, friend, it ain't you, Lord. It's him, Lord. Now, may I say he was Lord when it was outer darkness and only God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, he is Lord. He was Lord when he created heaven. He was Lord when he created earth. He was Lord when he walked before, Abraham. He was Lord when he was laid as a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes in a manger. He was Lord in the Garden of Gethsemane. He was Lord when He was tied up in Gabbatha. He was Lord when He was nailed to the cross of Golgotha. He was Lord when He got up out of the tomb. He was Lord when He ascended on the Mount of Olives. He's Lord right now. He'll be Lord when He comes back. He's always been Lord. When you got saved, you didn't make Him Lord. You submitted yourself to His Lordship. You bowed before the Lord. And friend, the Bible said, if any man shall confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shall believe in thine heart God raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Well, I'm here to tell you, friend, if we're going to live a victorious Christian life, we're going to have to submit ourselves to the Lordship of Christ and follow Him. He's the boss. Lord means master. Lord means boss. He's in charge. Now, here's where we get in trouble. Here's where we get double-minded. We know the Lord would will for us to go one direction, but we sure do like it in this direction. And we try to go as far this direction as we can without feeling like we've gone off the deep end. When we spend our life trying to see how far we can go without going too far. When what He's saying is, I just wish that you would just follow me wholly and completely, totally surrendered and yielded to my will. The Bible said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service. Now let me say something to you. Over the book of Daniel, chapter number 1, you'll find Daniel. You'll find Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael. And a whole slew of other young Hebrew boys. Carried out of Jerusalem and out of Judah into Babylon. You'll find King Nebuchadnezzar, who has a plan to send all of those Hebrews, those young pre-teenaged Hebrew boys, in Chaldean school. Teach them the language of the Chaldeans. Teach them the ways of the Chaldeans. Feed them the drink and the meat of the Chaldeans. And He said, give me 3 years with them and you'll never know they've ever been Hebrews. The devil in this world would love to take our children and he'd love to take me and you as adults. And with enough time, get us away from the things of God. Get us embracing the things of the flesh and things of the world, so that in just a matter of time, you and I will forget we've even been purged from our old sins. And the folks would never even believe that we once used to go to church and worship and shout and sing and preach and carry on for the Lord. And I don't care who we are, if the devil could get a hold of us, he'd do that to us, and I don't think it'd take 3 years. And the only hope for me, as I follow the Holy Ghost of God, and I walk in the Spirit, that I not fulfill the lust of the flesh, and I follow the Lordship of a holy God in obedience to Him, to be as right, look up here, to be as right with Him as I possibly can, lest I stumble and fall and make a mock and wind up like Lot and be as one that mocks. There's a lot of religious folks tonight. They probably canceled their church services, it being Memorial Day and everything. Here's a good night to take off. God bless you for coming to church tonight. Thank God for the church doors being open tonight. But across this country, there's a lot of folks that have sat in church services just like you. But when they get up in the morning and they go, how they've been, you'd never believe they'd been in church the night before. They're so carnal and so much like the world. Their attitudes are carnal. They're going to obey the lust of their flesh and they're going to do everything they want to do. For a true child of God, this is what the Lord's going to do to folks like that and just like me and you. He's going to allow pirates to board our ship. He's going to allow them to wound us so deep. And all of a sudden we're going to look around and we're going to say, I've made a mess of everything. Look what I've done. Look what I've done. I made this decision and look what I've done. Look what a mess I've made of my life. Look where it's got me. Look what it's cost me. No, God, help me. And I tell you what God will wind up having us do. He'll have us laying on an altar. We'll be bypassing all the commercials. We'll be skipping all the fancy names. We'll get instead of spending 5 minutes talking about, oh Lord and oh God and oh God and oh Lord, and I thank you for Granny and I thank you for Uncle Joe. We'll get past all that and we'll just say, oh God, help me. We'll begin to pour our heart and confess to God. We'll begin to make deals with God like, oh God, if you'll help me get out of this, I'll follow you. And he's like, that's what I've been wanting you to do all along. Follow me. God allows, Brother Ken, pirates of light to board our ships, diversity of trials to come, infirmities brought to us deeply. Because there's a life that needs to be transformed. There's a Lord that needs to be touched. And there's a Lordship that needs to be taken. God just wants the reins back of your life. He's tired of you trying to call the shots and walking contrary. The Lord does not want a tug of war match between us and Him. He wants us to follow Him, friend. I'm telling you, He wants us to follow Him, not even like a dog on a leash. He wants to be able to take the leash off and know you're right behind Him, friend. I'm telling you, wagging that tail, following Him with our tongues out, wanting to know what you want next, Master. God help us to be able to face the infirmities and face the pirates and face the trials that are going to come in our life. God help this church to turn another generation in this community to God. Thank God for the message He preached this morning. I'm telling you, turn another generation to God. Turn another generation to God. But whatever you do, reach out and touch Him now. Don't wait till infirmities come. Touch Him now. Touch Him tonight. Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. Brother Ken, your instrumentalists are coming. They're getting ready for an invitation song. There's some of you tonight. Pirates have boarded your ship. You've wondered what in the world's going on in my life. Well, I'm telling you, God's trying to transform you.